You want to catch up on what's going on in the NBA?
What is going on in the NBA? Other than the ratings going down and everybody's hurt.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the NBA, really. Like, I understand the ratings are down, but they'll ramp back up as the season goes, maybe or maybe not. But yeah, everybody's hurt. Every night you watch or don't watch, someone else is getting hurt. Like, Luka is going to be reevaluated in a week. He hurt his wrist earlier this week. Paul George got hurt last night. That team's already decimated by injuries, not surprisingly.
8 minutes. All three of them played together.
Yeah, Maxey, George, and Embiid have played 8 minutes together this season. And I don't know how many more minutes it's going to be than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Embiid's status is. Paul George gets banged up last night. Like, they're a disaster. Obviously, we talked earlier in the week about their closed-door meeting that they had and all that pretty early in the season for that.
It's too damn early.
Now Embiid's mad because it got leaked, which I don't blame him.
Oh, he is mad?
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No.
Like, it got leaked that I got called out in front of everybody. Like, how? Who told? You know?
Because then, I mean,
like, that's not great.
The team meeting was for us to stay together.
Right.
And then,
so we had a team meeting over, so you can go tell the media about it?
Exactly.
Somebody did.
Yep. Like, somebody. Shams got somebody in that room.
Yeah.
Or he got it bugged.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, either it's bugged or he got, or, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the type of crap. And that's what I always talk about when it's like, make it challenging for them to get stories about it.
Exactly.
Don't go tell them.
It already is easy because we're 2-12, right? Like, we're 2-12 and the star player can't play. Like, we have a team meeting to try to fix the stuff and you immediately tell the media about it. It undoes the purpose of a players only meeting when you do that kind of stuff. Anyway, they're a disaster. I mean, honestly, you know, there's a number of pleasant surprises across the league. I would list the Hawks for me so far this season at 7-9 and some of the wins that they've had. I would say the Hawks have pleasantly surprised me. Like, I mean, if you would have said, 16 games into the season, what do you think their record's going to be?
Uh-huh.
I would have guessed probably something more like 6-10, so that's one game away from what they are.
But, right.
I mean, they've played better than I expected that they would.
I think early this week when we were talking about the Hawks, it was more or less, I want to see how this team looks when they're fully healthy, have the full rotation of players, how Coach Quinn uses them and, you know, stagger the minutes and things like that. You know, DeAndre Hunter, I think we all agree, needs to come off the bench.
Yes.
It seems that's where he flourishes at. And I think you need to leave Richashe in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
because that's really what this is at the end of the day.
Yes.
Like, Richashe, Jalen Johnson, Trey, obviously, but, like, those guys developing together and seeing what they can be.
Yes, because that's going to be your future right there. And, yeah, I mean, you've already paid Jalen Johnson to ensure that we know where Trey is, and then Richashe is the number one overall pick. And so you try to figure that out. I think Bogey's better coming off the bench also.
Definitely.
And that makes him better and at least accept him to maybe injuries as much by taking some of that wear and tear off his body.
And it makes your starting lineup better defensively as well. Because if you have Trey and Bogey in the starting lineup,
it's going to be pretty bad.
That you're behind the eight ball.
Coach Quinn in is still early. But the one thing about it is because of how bad the East is, and if you look around the East, who's missing from certain teams, this is when you gain your ground.
Mm-hmm.
This is, if you're the Hawks, this is when you take off, because when Middleton comes back and eventually Embiid's going to get into shape and Paul George's going to get back and Maxey's going to get back, I think the team's going to be better. You know, Ben Carroll's going to be back sooner rather than it's been a long time.
Probably January.
Then we already talked about Cleveland and Boston and then, you know, Miami and whatever. Go ahead and gain as much, not gain ground, but take as much ground as possible. You know what I mean? So you can put yourself in a comfortable position when some of these star players get back on the team.
Yeah, look, I mean, for my money, the Eastern Conference is incredibly top-heavy. Like, the Celtics are the best team in the East. Even if they wouldn't have beat the Cavs the other night, I feel that way. They did, to make that statement. Cavs obviously are off to an incredible start, and they seem to be pretty legit, too. Like, they got a pretty good rotation. You know the star players that are there, but they've built it out pretty good, too, and they play pretty good defense. I don't buy the Knicks. They're fine. Like, I think, you know, they may win a playoff series, but they're not, you know, they're not like a real contender.
Why they go get Cat?
Huh?
Why they go get Cat?
Why did they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's supposed to be the best shooting big man in history.
Yeah, they got him.
Yep.
And now we'll see. I think the Magic are pretty good.
I do too.
When Banchero plays,
yes.
But he's not going to be back for probably a month and a half. I don't know about the Heat, man. They're all right.
I mean, like, when Jimmy plays. When Jimmy plays, and that's the reason Pat didn't give him that damn extension, and he's mad about it and everything like that.
And he shouldn't have.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy's not on this team.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
At some point, that's what's going to happen. Like, Jimmy Butler's not young.
He's 35. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
He's 35 with a lot.
Yeah, he's a rough 35 with the Tibbs years and all the playoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Other than that, like, you're kind of in the middle mix with the rest of those teams, which isn't a bad place to be for a young Hawks team. I mean, I think the fun story in the Western Conference is the team we saw last night play the Hawks. Like Golden State being 11-3 and making like pulling the strings the right way and kind of building that thing back around some of the pieces that had been there. Like I think Andrew Wiggins is kind of the X factor because he's third best player on that team.
He seems like, you know, whatever.
If he's good mentally and he's making threes like he has been this season, they're good.
And he may be their best perimeter defender also.
He may be the best.
But I love the addition of Buddy Hield. I like Buddy Hield on any team because he can do the one thing that every team needs.
Shoot. Yeah.
He needs everything.
And don't have to do anything else.
That's it.
That's perfect. Because he's been asked to do, like, other random stuff.
You don't want Buddy to do anything. You let go Buddy shoot.
Let him shoot a couple leak-out dunks. Had some easy buckets last night. Let him shoot and smile and be a vibes guy. Just a vibes guy.
Oh, okay.
Every team needs a vibes guy. And that team already has great vibes because they've got they've got Steph and Steve Kerr. But you got Buddy Hield in that mix? That's great.
Okay. Vibes guy.
The NBA employs those guys. Like you can have like a $12 million a year contract for just being pleasant in the NBA.
Or somebody's brother.
Yeah, or somebody's son. In some cases.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. John Collins is making like $20 million a year.
John Collins is not playing bad this year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, John Collins is playing bad this year, but it is what it is. He wanted the contract. The Hawks felt like they had to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever talked about that? Did you feel like they had to give John that?
They put themselves in a bad spot. John Collins, and I mean this with all due respect because I really like that guy.
Yes.
And really liked covering him, and he's a really good dude. He's in the perfect spot again.
Yep.
He's on a bad team.
Yes.
Like John Collins thrives on bad teams. You get him in the pick and roll and let him get a double-double, they're 3-11. They're the worst team in the Western Conference. John Collins is going to eat on a bad team, just like he did here. You know what I mean? John Collins.
Double-double machine.
He was about an
all-star guy.
He was about 20-10,
yeah.
And they were bad, and he was really friendly, and that was what they had at the time.
Good guy.
And got $125 million for it.
Great guy. And we don't believe in the Pacers, right? I don't believe in the Pacers.
No.
Pistons, yeah, whatever.
I don't know, man.
Who's the head coach of the Pistons?
I kind of like the Pistons a little bit.
Who's the head coach of the Pistons?
Who did they hire? I don't remember. But I like Cade Cunningham. Like, that guy's good. When he's healthy, he's good.
They did give Monty all that damn money. I thought Monty left. Monty Williams.
Didn't they fire him?
J.B. Bickerstaff. Okay.
Yeah, they fired Monty.
Like,
after
Monty.
Monty didn't even make it to the end of the year last year.
Yeah, Monty. What did they pay him? Like $90 million?
They paid him a lot of money, man. And they didn't even make it through 1 year.
Damn, Monty.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I ain't coaching ever again.
Yeah, it's a buyout.
It's a buyout. That's 90.
Yeah, I could live on the beach.
Yeah, go live. I mean, straight. I'm living on the beach. I'm talking about, I'm having to sweep sand off my floor beach.